All right, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And while you're turning, there is a second rose. Pastor Ray was supposed to announce this, but I didn't tell him to. And so Pastor Rick told him, you just announce what they tell you to announce. So I didn't tell him, so he didn't announce it. All right, so I said, that's okay, I'll take the blame. It's my fault. I didn't tell you to announce this. But the second rose is there in memory of Dean Pennington, who passed away on January the 5th, 2022, last year. And so the Pennington family, special folks around here, we thank the Lord for them and thank the Lord for Dean. He was a character, was he not? He certainly was. We miss him. All right. Then one more announcement. Next Sunday evening after the evening service, I want to meet with all of you that are interested in going to Israel. And we'll do that next week, next Sunday night after church. So make plans for that if you'd like to get some information about the trip. We'll meet next Sunday night. And then tonight we're having our staff appreciation night. There are several folks that have been here on our staff. We start at 5 years and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25. And we have a 35-year veteran on the staff that will be receiving an award tonight. So if you think it might be you, I would recommend you be in church this evening, because if you don't come to church, I'm taking your gift. All right? All right. Go back to sleep, would you? I like it better when you sleep. You do too? Oh, John, you need help. You know it. You need counseling or something. Yeah, you got her? Well, she needs to step it up a notch. Oh, my goodness, that's hilarious. That's good, John. All right, that's about all the laughing y'all going to do today. All right, everybody smile at me. Everybody give me a real big smile. All right, everybody happy? All right, you remember this right now, okay? Because it's about to get heavy in here. All right, let's turn. Are you in Ezekiel 2? Yes. All right, good. I told you that much, all right? Ezekiel chapter 2. Did I not tell you the chapter number? 2. All right. All right, let's read. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And I want to read down a couple of verses here. And verse 7 is where I'm going to end up and take my message from today. So in verse 1, it says, "And he said unto me, Son of man," so this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. And one of the names that God had for Ezekiel was Son of Man. All right, so he said unto me, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." Notice, I will speak unto thee. "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee," watch carefully now, "I send thee to the children of Israel, to a," what's the next word? "A rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." All right? "Thus saith the Lord." Now, what that's very important. Thus saith the Lord God. Now, look at verse 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. In other words, whether they hear or whether they don't. All right? For they are a rebellious house. Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So whether they hear or whether they don't hear, they're going to know, Ezekiel, that there's a prophet among them, because you're going to cry aloud and spare not. All right? Boy, those are some things that are needed today. We got all this wimpy stuff going on in our pulpits today. It's sad. All right, read on. He said, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now watch, verse 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are most rebellious. I want to speak this morning from verse 7. And I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning, The Faithful Preacher. The Faithful Preacher. Let's pray quickly. Father, thank you now for your word. I pray you'll bless it to our hearts today. I pray you'll help me as I speak, and I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And Father, I ask you to bless all that are watching online this morning, and I pray that you will just give us conviction of heart. May the word of God penetrate into our hearts and draw us closer to yourself. So bless us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, that the devil, Satan, is a liar, and that he is the father of lies. Jesus said that Satan was a liar from the very beginning. And when you go back to the book of Genesis, to chapter 3, you will see that the devil, the first words out of his mouth that are recorded were a lie spoken to Eve. Thou shalt not surely die. The devil was trying to air condition hell right there. Thou shalt not surely die. What a lie. God had said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, dying, thou shalt surely die. And then the devil comes along, oh, no, that's not what God said. No, you're not going to surely die. You're surely not going to die. Well, God said they would if they ate of the tree, if they disobeyed, if they sinned. You know, I have to chuckle every time I hear someone say, well, in Christian America. What? Wait a minute. What? Christian America? This is not Christian America. This is heathen America. Don't be deceived, folks. We're not a Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation. We are a heathen nation. This is an abortion-loving, baby-murdering, drunken, drugged up, marijuana smoking, cheating, pornography saturated, Hollywood indoctrinated, transgendered promoting, homosexual supporting, pedophile protecting, naked, rebellious, anti-God, anti-church, anti-Bible America. That's who we are. That's who we are. Now, there's something I want you to think about for a moment. Our leaders have lied to us with such regularity that even though we know they're lying, it doesn't affect us anymore. We become saturated to accepting the lies as truth. It's sad, folks. Now, you say, well, what do you mean they've lied to us? Well, they've lied to us for the last 2 years about the southern border. They say, oh, the border is closed. No, it's not. No, it's not. When it's wide open. Millions of unvetted individuals are flooding our border and illegally entering into the country. And when they do, they're given free health care, free housing, free food, free benefits. And we don't have the money to do that. We're $31 trillion in debt. Let that, your mind doesn't even comprehend that, does it? Mine doesn't. Of course, I don't do math. You know that. They've lied to us about COVID. They've lied about where it came from. They've lied about the vaccines, and they've lied about the boosters, and they're still lying about all that. They're still lying about it. In several blue states, they have passed laws which make it illegal. In California, it is illegal to question, to say anything contrary to the public narrative that has been put out by the state of California. You can't say anything contrary to the state line, to the state story. Doctors who have spoken out against the virus or against the vaccines or the boosters have lost their medical licenses. They have lost their jobs. They've lost their internships. They've lost their residencies and shamed out of existence by the state authorities. We're being lied to about this January the 6th mess. About the 2020 election results. About the 2022 election results just a couple of months ago. When the Democrats had to win Arizona in order to keep control of the Senate, they kept the election in Arizona alive long enough for several weeks. And once everybody, you know, it's like the little T-shirt with the little kid standing on the front, and he goes, I don't have ADHD. Look, there goes a squirrel. You know? And they dangle a squirrel over here on this end, and they say, hey, look at this. And then while we're over here looking at something else, they come out and say, well, looks like the Democrats are going to keep the Senate. How did you do that? How did you do that? And nobody blinks. So, oh, well, I guess the Dems got the Senate. Oh, well. I mean, we're just so conditioned today. And it's sad, folks. And this is how you lose your country. The media line, oh, just move on. Nothing to see here. Just keep going. Go on. And they have made it into an absolute disgrace for anyone to deny election results. Unless Hillary Clinton loses. And they get up and call us election deniers and demean conservatives. And the whole time they were doing it for 4 years when Donald Trump was the president. An illegitimate president, they said. Well, I tell you, our whole election system needs to be overhauled and made fair. I'm not even going to go there. I got to move on. I'll never get done. All right, here's another one. They've lied to us about that whole Benghazi thing. That was a disgrace. Then there's the Hunter Biden laptop thing. Russian disinformation. Really? That was Russian disinformation. Sad, isn't it? And then they've lied to us about the suicide, quote unquote, of Jeffrey Epstein. I'll guarantee you, if we knew the truth about that whole thing, America would be up in arms. I'll guarantee it. There is more to that story than any of us realize. Then there's the millions and millions of dollars that the Biden family has made off of Ukraine and China and Russia. And then there's the multiplied millions and billions of dollars that are being sent to Ukraine. Why? Why? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Ukraine is not a capitalistic nation. They're not like us. They're not like us. I mean, you know, free enterprise? No, not there. No. It is a corrupt nation of oligarchs who could sink the Bidens and probably a whole bunch of others in Congress if they told their story. And could all this money that we're throwing at Zelensky be hush money? Well, you come to your own conclusion, but I'm telling you, something in the milk ain't clean. Everybody all right? If you need to take one of your pills, go ahead and do it now. Well, folks, you decide for yourself, but let me tell you, our government is filled with liars. And they don't even blink. Power means more than truth. But wait a second, you better not question any of this stuff. I mean, you'll be labeled an election denier. I mean, you look up the most evil thing a person can be in the dictionary, and an election denier is number one. You better not do that. You better not do that. You will be labeled as someone who spreads misinformation. Uh-oh. Well, you can't do that, can you? And you have to realize that misinformation is any information that is different from the Democrat Party line. The FBI said that the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian misinformation. Therefore, it's Russian misinformation. Oh, it doesn't matter what the truth is. That doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter what the facts tell us. It doesn't matter what you can see with your own eyes on that laptop. That doesn't matter. I mean, after all, come on, folks, 50 former FBI officials, you know, folks like James Clapper and folks like John Brennan, they all said that it was Russian information. You know, those upstanding, honest, American-loving former Obama officials. They all said it was Russian disinformation, so come on. It's got to be, doesn't it? How dare you question those exceptional American patriots? Well, folks, I'm not going to sit back and be quiet. I'm not going to drink the Biden Kool-Aid. We are going to sit back in fear to speak up, and we're going to lose our country if we haven't already lost it. Ezekiel faced many of the same challenges that we face today. When it's talking about that in verse 3 that the people have transgressed against God, what do you think that means? That means that they took the law and they turned against the law. And that's what's going on in America today. That's what communism does. That's what it does. And God called Ezekiel to preach, to give God's word to people who would not hear what he had to say. Oh, that America would produce a bunch of preachers across the country who would stand up and be faithful to the word of God and tell it like it is, tell the truth, expose the lies, and reveal what thus saith the Lord. Now notice very quickly three things about faithfulness. Now you can relax now. All right, it's smooth sailing from here on out. Three things I want you to see about faithfulness from this seventh verse. First of all, I want you to notice the precepts in the faithfulness. Look at your Bible. Verse 7 says, thou shalt speak my what? Words. There it is. Thou shalt speak my words unto them. God's preachers are to preach the word of God. Now let me remind you, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2 that he was to preach the word. Preach the word. And you know, the truth is, there is no commission anywhere in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, no other commission to preach anything else other than the word. That's the job of any man of God. There is nothing else we are commanded to preach. I mean, but very few folks are doing that. Very few people today, men today, are actually standing to preach the word of God. Today, there is a de-emphasis on the word of God. A de-emphasis. And I'll tell you why. It's because Bible colleges in every denomination there is have taught their young men studying for the ministry that the Bible is not the Word of God. Well, how in the world can you preach, thus saith the Lord, if the Bible is not what God says? I don't get it. I've often wondered, what do some of these guys preach? You know? What do they preach? And so when I had COVID a couple of weeks ago, I got on YouTube and just looked up some names that I recognized, you know? And I said, well, let me hear what he has to say. So I turned on what he had to say, and once you got through all the rock and roll music, they read out of a Bible that I didn't even recognize. And then there was this little 15-minute sermonette to a bunch of Christianettes that smoke cigarettes and drive Corvettes. All right, I'm done. Sorry, Don. And Walt, and I could just go on and on. You know, we got to preach the word. It's the word of God that's going to convict the hearts of America. And our nation is sliding because nobody is standing up and proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, anymore. Amen. And it's shameful. It's shameful. I mean, we don't stand up and use the word of God. Preachers stand up today and criticize the word of God. Oh, well, a better translation. No. No. No, 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 no. You have no idea what you're talking about. And they criticize the fundamental doctrines of the Bible, and they come out of seminary, and they have no authority. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have any authority. They don't build their lives or the lives of those in their church with God's word. Instead, they're building ministries on fellowship. They're building ministries on music. They're building ministries on some social issue that they just absolutely drive in the ground. And you will not be faithful to the word of God if you don't have an authority. It's just that simple. We see preachers and pastors running to this conference and that conference, and the pastor is, if he's not running to conferences, the church has him running to the hospital so much he wears himself out and wears his vehicle out and wears his family out because he's not, and wears his church out because he's not taking time to study the Word of God. You see, the preacher is to be a man of the Word. And his faithfulness to the word will be reflective of his faithfulness to preach that word. Secondly, I want you to notice the popularity of faithfulness. God told Ezekiel, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, the popularity of being faithful. Man, you're not going to be popular if you're faithful to the word of God. Not in this rebellious nation. God told Ezekiel it wasn't going to happen for him, and I'm telling you it's not going to happen for us either. We are a rebellious nation. Ezekiel was to give the word of God regardless of how it was received. And you know, it's clear that Ezekiel was asked to preach an unpopular message. That's easy to see when you read his book. And the people often rejected what God placed on his heart to preach. His message was not popular, and it often ruffled the feathers of those who heard it. I mean, we all like to be accepted, don't we? We all like to be loved. We all like to be popular, don't we? And you know, this is a real test for the man of God. The question is, what's the preacher striving for? Is he striving to be popular? Is he striving to be accepted? Or is he striving to be faithful? Well, to be faithful, the preacher has to proclaim the message regardless. Regardless. Regardless of whether the people like it or not. And we have been being conditioned by the constant drumbeat of political correctness for years now, and it has done what they intended it to do. It has numbed our senses, our spiritual senses, whether we realize it or not. Now let me just show you what I mean. If I get up here and I start ranting and raving about the sin and the abomination of sodomy, that's what God calls it. God doesn't call it homosexuality. He calls it sodomy. And they don't like to be called sodomites, because that means they understand God's got their number. That's right. God's got their number. They don't like to be called that. All right, so if I start preaching on that, folks get real jittery. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't believe he's talking about that again. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. If I say something about the people's obsession with the lottery, gambling, gambling. Man, everybody starts squirming. If I say anything about a number of any other moral issues, that causes some folks to just shiver. And you know, we have lost members because I have preached against drinking alcohol. I can't believe you said that. Well, if you can't believe it, then take it by faith. But I did say it. It is evil. Evil. Alcohol has ruined more people than anything. And God's against it. He says so. Well, Jesus drank wine. Ooh. No, he didn't. Well, it says it was wine. I know what it says. But he didn't drink wine. So, well, it says wine. How do you know he didn't drink wine? Because the wine that he drank was unfermented. And it was because the bread that he took at Passover with his disciples in the upper room, the Last Supper, that was unleavened bread. The leaven is to the bread what the fermentation is to the grape juice. And if he could have no fermentation, if he had fermentation, no fermentation in his bread, he could have no fermentation in his wine. Our Savior was not a drunkard. Oh, Pastor, now you just ought to say positive things. I know. I know, that's positive. I mean, God's clear on this stuff, folks. Man, I got off on those drag queens a couple of weeks ago. Remember that? Oh my goodness, you would not believe. You know, these people will call and leave me a message, but don't tell me who they are. They'll send me an email, but they disguise their address and don't sign them. They'll put notes under my door. Pastor Norris. I thought, oh, that's somebody that knows me. You know? And I open it up and it ignites before I can read it. You know? Poof. Up in flames. And I look down at the bottom, it has no name on it. You know what I do with stuff that doesn't have a name on it? That's the first thing I do when I get some. I look down and see if there's a name on it. If there's not a name on it, I figure, nah, they don't really mean that. And I throw it away. I don't even read them. You see, I don't want to go around all day thinking about how badly I've upset you. By preaching on something that, to be honest with you, you ought to be upset about. You know, what ought to offend you is the fact that we live in a country where it is considered okay to invite men. All right, I'm going to get in trouble here. Fat men. Getting too close to home there, John? Okay. Fat men at that, to come to a bunch of first graders, all dolled up and dressed like women, makeup that the book of Proverbs says makes them look like a harlot. Hey, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. That's what ought to get you upset. That's what ought to offend you, not the fact that one of God's men stands up and has the intestinal fortitude, which in English means, in hillbilly means, guts. to preach against all this moral decay in our nation. You know, but the Apostle Paul said, hey, listen, in the last days, men are going to be easily offended. Oh, yeah. Paul told Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. Well, we're here. Amen. I can preach on eternal security, and here comes the emails. How in the world do you not understand eternal security? I don't get that. Oh, well, if you sin, not if, when? Not if. And we are certainly in a place where men do not want to hear God's word. They would rather hear that which sounds good to their own ears. And yet Paul told Timothy he was to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. Then lastly, I want you to notice the people in the faithfulness. Last part of this verse, it says, for they are most rebellious. That's the people. They are most rebellious. God sent Ezekiel to a bunch of folks that did not like God and his word. Just that simple. Ezekiel was not sent to a nice little pastorate somewhere where everyone loved one another and where they all loved him and where it never rained or snowed on Sunday. And the folks were, all the folks were faithful tithers, and they all came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, missions conference, and whatever other meetings they had, and they were all totally dedicated to the Lord. No, that's not where he sent him. He sent him to a rebellious nation. A rebellious people who did not like God. You know, the truth is, folks, God's preachers are to go wherever he sends them. Whether the people are nice or whether they're not. I've been around a little while, folks. Don't say anything, John. And to be honest with you, I don't know of a church anywhere, not anywhere, where everything is just, you know, hunky-dory. I don't know of a church anywhere. I don't think there is such a creature. The truth is, most churches fit into the most rebellious, quote-unquote, from the verse, category. And that just seems to be the character of churches today. It just seems to be what church is all about these days. I go out on a Monday and Tuesday and preach somewhere with Dr. Smith or with Dr. Hamlin or somebody across the country, and then fly back on Wednesday so I can be in prayer meeting. But I'll go out and preach some Monday and Tuesday somewhere, and in the last few years, I've started to notice, just in the last few years, in just about every church that I have been in, after the service, someone will approach me and want to argue with me about something I said. And I just go, well, here, show me that. Where's your Bible for that? Because I got Bible for mine. Oh, well, I know it's in there somewhere. No, it's not. Show me. Show me. And they can't do it. But they want to argue. Well, my Aunt Susie said, well, I'm going to believe God before I'm going to believe your Aunt Susie. Amen. One preacher friend of mine told me, he said, you know your problem? I said, I know a lot of my problems, yes. But he's a friend, and he said, here's your problem. He said, you're too bold. And I said, oh, listen, you don't know how much I don't say that I want to say. He said, you are too authoritative. I said, amen. He said, you got too much of a no compromise, straight up way about you. I said, yep. That's right. And he said, and it rattles cages. And I said, well, maybe cages need rattled. But you know, the character of a congregation does not determine our calling. God determines our calling. We are to follow the call of God to go where God leads us to go. And then be faithful to preach the whole counsel of God when we get there. And just let God take care of everything. I don't know if you realize it, but back in the 1700s, God called several men at the same time to go all up and down the mid-Atlantic states and the East Coast and New England and preach the Word of God as God was working in the hearts of many people to form our country. And these men came in and God used them to bring revival. And our nation was actually born out of revival. Men like George Whitefield. Men like Jonathan Edwards. George Whitefield was as cross-eyed as a bed bug. Seriously. But that man could preach. God had his hand on him. There was a story that went around from an 1800s preacher, and he wrote it in an illustration of a sermon that he preached, and he told about how his grandfather heard Whitefield preach. Now, folks, there were no PA systems back then. And the testimony was that the crowd was so big that you couldn't get within 3 miles of Whitefield. And the story is that you could hear him preach 3 miles away. Now, how do you do that? That's a God thing right there. You say, well, I wonder what would have happened if a 500,000 had showed up. Well, I figure God would have given him a bigger voice box. I don't know. But there was a message, and that message had to get out. And what were they doing? They were preaching about freedom. They were preaching about tyranny. And how to be free from tyranny. And they rallied the colonies to put God first. Amen. And his righteousness and all these things would be added unto them. Now, folks, this kind of preaching is exactly what is now forbidden. What I'm doing this morning is against the law. Federally. It is. Yeah, you just dig up at that new marriage act that 16 quote-unquote Republicans signed on to. So it got passed. What's it called? The marriage enhancement, or it's a marriage destruction act is what it is. All it is protection for the LGBTQ plus RSTW, whatever. That's all it is. And they've made a law that prohibits preaching against this crowd. Why? Well, to silence the word of the Lord. That's why. You see, a rebellious people does not want to hear the truth. They want to lie. They want to deceive. Folks, you should just mark it down. When the government passes a law, whatever it says at the top is the name of the law, it's going to be the opposite. It's what they do. And if the church doesn't stand up, when I pastored at Dixie, and I was 24 years old, in Dixie, West Virginia, little old town of 300 people, metropolitan booming Dixie. And I made a statement one night, and I've never forgotten it. And I said that if the Lord tarries his coming, and I don't die of a heart attack first, there will be a day when I will be told to shut up or go to jail. And they just laid the foundation for that to happen. You come visit me in jail? Okay. All right, then I'll keep preaching, all right? What? Thank you, John. You're so kind. Your sweet invitation. Thank you. I'll remember that. And God will remember that too. Folks, we got to stick with it. Got to stay faithful. Amen. Don't quit. Don't give up. You're on the winning side. So don't get weary in well-doing. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Wonder how many Christians here today will say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to stand for the Lord. I need to stand for the Lord. I need to do the will of God in my life. I want you to pray for me, Pastor. God's dealing with my heart today. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Amen. God bless you, folks, all over the building. God bless you. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Thank you. All right, let me ask one more question. Maybe you're here today and you're not 100% sure you're saved and on your way to heaven. Well, I want you to know there's a God who loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for your sin. He paid your sin penalty so you wouldn't have to pay it in hell. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone here today who would say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved and going to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray and ask God to help you? Just hold your hand up where I can see it. Anybody like that? Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. All right, Father, thank you now for your word, and I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. I pray for all these folks who raised their hand, hundreds of people. And Father, I ask you to just work in our hearts, draw us to yourself, help us to stand, and having done all, to stand. And Lord, may we realize that your word is the final authority. It's the final authority. It's not what I say, it's not what the government says, it's not what any other man says, it's what thus saith the Lord. So, Father, bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.